Good evening, everyone. As the appointed hour has arrived, we'll begin our meeting. Tonight we will start with the public forum, as usual. We've got two speakers for us tonight. The first speaker is Mr. Dennis Power, and it's in relation to item 27, development application DA 11/2021. Over to you, Mr. Power.
Councillors, my name is Dennis Power. I'd like to just clarify a couple of things in that, unfortunately, the license for a 1,000 head feedlot has to be applied now once upon a basically as a drought strategy, you know, to cover ourselves. We do not intend to be major feedlotters find it hard enough to make money. Their profit margins aren't good. We're there to cover ourselves for dry times, or if we've got forward sale of cattle, which we quite often do, the season starts out, you can finish them off to provide for. So believe me, we do not want to become full-time feedlotters. Most times when it's when we have got a feed cattle. But I think the applicant is committed, we are committed to preparing and adopting a management plan that will include details of how any odour incidents are managed, a monitoring regime and a feedback method for neighbours or surrounding landowners to speak directly to the operators to adaptive management plan would be prepared in consultation. When we finished building that at the end of 2019. Our irrigated, our wastewater system can be diverted as we have to. I mean, it's usually a dry time, so believe me. We're over a number of, we have a number of dwellings. These was, are far closer to the feedlot than other elevated any unrelated receivers. While it's not expected any odour could be noted on site and measure taken to address this as soon. I don't think we'll have any of those type of problems. I would just like to thank you all for your time and
Mr. Power, thank you for that. Councillors, any questions for Mr. Power before you get away? Anyone got any questions? No? Very well. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Power. Well, just next one on the forum is Chanel Gleeson-Willey from Moss Environmental, who will speak on the same item. Welcome.
By Ellie Cook and Phil Cook in this. to address these objections, we reviewed the DA and the SC. So the client stated there are reasons to oppose. Suitability, such as resulting in biological poor water quality, sorry, poor air quality due to the catabatic flows. So after a review of the SEE, we do consider that from carcass disposal and manure on the waste has potential for contaminating the surface and groundwater when poorly managed. Livestock will also be an issue of concern if not disposed of properly. Solid waste. Manure is a significant source of infection from pathogens. Odour could also be a potential concern here, with wet manure having a 50 to 100. High pen slopes will be difficult to maintain, and the pen surface. Overflow from the lagoons during a rainfall event or series of events exceeding once every 10 years, and it would be reasonable to expect the proponent to identify the details from managing this. The SEE identifies that the lagoon will be clay lined with 300 mils of clay material. Based on our assessment of the key environmental issues, we respectfully recommend following mitigation measures should be considered for inclusion in the conditions. Line drawings for the feedlot, including specifications for the feedlot surface material and compaction requirements. Road maintenance on public roads and experience that will experience an increase in traffic. The proponent has effluent reuse operations in accordance with the EPA develops and submits in engineering plans and specifications. Lastly, that the proponent carries out testing of groundwater by installing or using that they sample background levels of the environmental monitoring actions are identified and carried out in feedlot operations. In respect to the above, determining authorities typically condition development consents with a requirement to develop and maintain an operating environmental management plan, or OEM. The above document should include a process for the management of odour.
thank you very much for that. It was a little bit over the time, but I thought it was important to hear what you had to say. Any questions, councillors? Very much for that. I think, as last time, it's the plan of the councillors that we'll expedite the item 27 to be towards the front of the meeting, so you don't have to wait and stagger through a lot of other stuff before we get there. Very good. Well, at the conclusion of the forum, we'll begin the meeting proper. And just ask you all to make sure your mobile phones are turned off. We will have to get hard on this.
So I just need to get Councillor Capel.
We're going to have to enforce the phone ringing rule. And we'll just make sure that everyone's aware that we've got audio recording of the meeting. Let it begin with the acknowledgement of country. Councillor Brady's going to help us with that this evening.
Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land at which the meeting is held and pays its respects to elders both past, present, and extends that respect to other Aboriginal people who are present.
Thank you, Councillor Brady. Do we have any apologies or leave of absence?
Mr Mayor, Councillor Clancy has provided his apology for this meeting.
I'll get a move and a second. Do we accept that? Councillor Iannuzzi, Councillor Shinton. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. We have the confirmation of the minutes from the last meeting, 21st of October. Councillor Todd. Councillor Capel. That, all those in favour that those minutes arrive? One in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Next order in order is the disclosure of conflicts of interest. Councillor Capel.
Item 27.
In particular.
The feedlot, pecuniary.
And your interest, Councillor?
Further councillors? You ready to put that? Get a mover and a seconder for the motion that we accept that. Councillor Capel, Councillor Hill, all those in favour? Once again, carried. Item one, before we do the mayoral minutes, is the Mayor's Log of Activities and Kilometres Travelled and Expenses. So I can move that one if I could get a seconder. Councillor Shinton, thank you for your help. Forward, I'll just put that. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Item two, the councillor's monthly travel claims. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Hill. Again, pretty straightforward. I'll just put that motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. On there, the item three, the delegates' report from the minutes of the country mayor's meeting. I can move that. I can have a seconder. Councillor Hill, thank you for that. Any questions or comments on that report? Pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Righto. Well, I'll put that recommendation there on page 13. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Well, I just now propose that we move item 27 to this part of the agenda. If I could get someone to move that. Councillor Todd. We move item 27 to be dealt with now. Moved by Councillor Todd. Councillor Lewis, thank you very much. I'll put that. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Just bear with us while we jump ahead.
And Mr Mayor, just recording that Councillor Cable has left the room. Mr Mayor, if I could, in starting this item off, if I could just introduce Donna Osling from Ausplan, who has prepared the, or dealt with the development application on Council's behalf. Donna's at the end of the table next to Councillor Annuzzi. And the second thing is that just in relation to the recommendation, just a slight change of wording from appendix to annexure in one. And third thing is that with that annexure, there have been a few modifications, which I spoke to most councillors about earlier this afternoon. Apologies, Councillor Annuzzi, I didn't get to you. But they weren't, I don't think they were too hugely significant, but if you want me to go through them, I can, or quiz Donna on them. And those consent conditions have been uploaded to councillors' iPads.
Very good. So, councillors, if we deal with item 27 now, page 83, can we ask for a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Lewis, Councillor Shinton. Any discussion on this item? Councillor Lewis.
Mr Mayor, when this came before council last meeting, I did have concerns about the development. I've got first-hand knowledge of the site and the way things used to work there 40 years ago, because I did work there as a contractor. And although there was no pollution or anything recorded at the time in the river, the potential for it was there, because it was about at least six or seven times bigger than the proposed development that's going there now. It wasn't thought out or designed very well. We went there and had our on-site inspection the other day, and it's very evident that it has been thought out and it is well planned this time. The groundwater's been diverted away from the five pens in question. He's got all the adequate ponds and drainage and so on and a plan B if something goes wrong. It's only a small development. I can't see any problem with it being consented to at all. I'll take any questions. If anyone wants to pick my brain on the knowledge that I have of that site, I think I can answer them.
Are there anyone's in relation to the forum? Just a question to you. We had... you know, the recommendation is this be... recommendation is that the submitters be advised in writing of council's decision to grant consent subject to conditions. Some more conditions have been added today. In light of the presentation we heard there this evening, is there value in surveying that document and looking at...
answer that, Mr Mayor, through the General Manager. Just to concur with Ms Gleeson-Wiley's observations about the importance of ongoing environmental management at the site in the form of a operational environmental management plan. The majority of the issues raised post in the public access time component have been addressed in the conditions of development consent. They are very robust for a development of this type and scale. The only the matters of biosecurity, pen design, compaction, biosecurity management, and the manure application are addressed in the recommended conditions of consent. The only item that that we would not be able to lawfully address is the traffic contributions, as there's no mechanism for council to levy those under your adopted contributions plan framework. However, there is a general contribution of $3,500 under your 94A contributions plan, which is a percentage levied on the value of the development that council would be payable to council. The applicant would also be required to submit an annual report assessing their performance against their operational conditions of consent, and we've also put some additional items in to make sure that there's appropriate levels of communication between the operator and the neighbouring landholders in the form of a complaints management and communications plan. Thank you.
I think that in some of those concerns about road traffic have been addressed in some of the strengthened conditions too that have just been with us today. Isn't that the case? The concerns about excess traffic road movements have been some limits on...
That's correct. Through the general manager again, there's been an additional condition, recommended condition, restricting the number of traffic movements as detailed in the submitted statement of environmental effects. The applicant's consultant has advised the councillors attending the site inspection and council staff that that they anticipate that those numbers are conservative. The staff and myself have reviewed the methodology that's been presented in addition to your engineering manager. No significant concerns were identified in terms of those predicted numbers of movements, and also the capacity of the local road network to accommodate the additional movements arising from the development.
Further, councillors? Speaking again, Mr. Manager, about General Manager, about the obligations.
Mr. Mayor, just if councillors do wish to vote this one down, then I just would remind them that they need to provide their reasons for voting down the consent, and they will become then the reasons why council would defend the matter in the court if required. Having said that, the staff recommendations that would go to court would not be changed.
Anything further, councillors? All solid? Righto. We have a recommendation there on page 90. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Passed unanimously. General Manager, we return to order. Item number 4. What page is that on?
14.
So item number 4 is the minutes. Oh. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
For your help there. Thank you, Ms. Dewar. Thank you. Okay, brings us, councillors, to item number 4, the minutes of the Traffic Advisory Committee meeting. Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. Get a seconder, Councillor Todd. Any debate or discussion, anything you think you need to draw attention to, Councillor Shinton?
I think so.
All pretty straightforward?
Straightforward meeting, yep.
Very good. On that basis, I'll put that. All those in favour? Once again, carried unanimously. This one, item 5, delegations of the Mayor post-election.
I move the recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks. Of course, Councillor Shinton. spoke. Questions? Councillor Enozzi.
Thank you. I think we should also consider either a second recommendation or motion or an amendment to this one with respect to the mayoral vehicle, should you need to be travelling to do any civic duties. I think it would only be fair that you can at least use the vehicle. I think I would prefer to remain silent on payment, but certainly using the vehicle whilst you're being inconvenienced in this way might be an appropriate amendment or a separate motion, as long as the colleagues around the table are happy.
That, Councillor Lewis? No question of the need for payment. It's thanks for the suggestion about the vehicle. We can move on. Really, this is a situation that I don't think they've thought through properly. There's a bit of water might go under the bridge between December 4 and water might go over bridges. That's the concern, you know. So it's all of that type of stuff that we need a face for the or public face for the council in that interim period. Councillor Shinn.
Mr. Mayor, did that come up at Country Mayor's?
It did.
Yeah, right. The vehicle, I mean. Did they mention that?
No.
Oversight. Yeah. Okay.
So the did you read the Country Mayor's?
I did. I can't recall if that was in there.
The other thing that came up, you would have read the report in Country Mayor's, was that councillors from New South Wales being a bit shortchanged in comparison to the colleagues from north and south of the border. But I suppose we're in it for the day. Anyway. All right, enough on that. I'll put that.
Just a question. What happens if you don't get in, Ambrose? That's only. Don't want to.
I won't be signing any big contracts or deals. I think it's just a face for the. That's how it operated in the past. Correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Shinton. And if previous, that was the mayor was the mayor till there was a new mayor. But yes, ceremonial thing there or a face of council. So
it's an oversight setting the date when they did.
Oh, I don't think you need them know what they're doing.
But I just
that's okay. All right, we've aired a bit there. I'll put that. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Our next item of business, item 6, is Council Resolutions Report. Councillor Todd, Councillor Hill. Any questions there, councillors? No? Then the recommendation, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Takes us to item 7, budget revotes. Councillor Shinton, thank you for that. Your seconder, Councillor Hill. Anyone want any more information on anything? Pretty straightforward. All right, I'll put the recommendation on page. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, brings us to item 8, the annual report for 2020-2021. Going to move up, Councillor Todd. Seconder. Councillor Capel, thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, just to add another recommendation item there, and that is that General Manager be authorised to make any minor amendments to the report that may.
Councillor Todd and Councillor Capel, you're happy with that? If there's any minor amendments that need making. The significant document was all put together. say that about a lot of things. All right. We've got a recommendation there that now numbers four different parts of the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Understand this is a change from the normal. The end of term report is item number 9. Can I get the mover and a seconder, please?
Same again there, Mr. Mayor. Just an addition if authorised the GM to make minor amendments only.
Can we get the mover and a seconder to that effect? Councillor Shinton, Councillor Lewis, thank you. Queries, comments or suggestions on the end of term report?
I think it also should have an attendance register in it.
I don't mind that. I had that suggested to me as well. I thought, well, I know on the board at Quinder, and that comes up at the AGM, and I'm ashamed to say mine would be very sorry this last 12 months, but it is like getting your homework, isn't it? You get marked on what you've done. So you'd like to see that incorporated this time or next time?
Well, it's probably a bit late this time, but... yeah, next time, I think.
Well,
what committees they've been on.
Well, that's of interest too. Yeah. But the normal course of events, this would happen after the next election, that would be released. You've already voted in the person who didn't go to anything. When you...
Is that a 0.5?
Is that a 0.5? The mover and the second happy?
The mover and second
you're
happy.
For that information to be...
future end of term reports.
Right. Anything else, councillors? If not, I'll put that recommendation as amended. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Which brings us to item 10. Which is the Delivery Program Progress Report, up to the 30th of September. Mover and a seconder, please. Brady, Councillor Todd. Back in this one.
How hard is it to look at the other councils near us and...
bits in particular, councillor?
Well, just in general. To me, it doesn't make sense if we're always rebuilding a wheel when there are other wheels around we can look at for design. And that surely would speed up the process and take a lot of time and energy back into our focus rather than them wasting time developing from scratch. It's like when you're on a not-for-profit small committee, you just go to the bank of policies, take it out and then just tweak it for your operation. Surely we could look at other local government areas and see what works there, what they've got, would it work here, and draft up the youth strategy quicker. For funding.
So we're on item 10, Councillor.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were on the youth strategy.
No, item 10, you're right. You had me worried, I thought I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got moving a second now. Anything on the delivery program before we move on to the youth? And on that, Councillor, about building from other councils, I did receive an offer from which I hadn't brought up with the general manager, but I must ask you to remind me to do so, from a rather larger council that offered to help us with areas that we might be able to design and policies and stuff like that. I think it's something we should probably discuss and take them up on.
Lovely.
Yeah,
and it would take pressure off our staff who we're source poor, so it could free up and get things expedited
yes,
and finished.
I would. So we'll deal with item 10. Anything councillors want to raise with that? Okay, well, I'll put item 10. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. So, Councillor Cable, will you move item 11? Seconder? Councillor Shinton? Right, Councillor Cable.
Well, just what I said. I think this has been sitting not done for a while, and there are ways to expedite it by looking around and seeing what other councils have done.
Picking them up on the office to help, yeah.
Don't reinvent the wheel.
I still have a problem with this, and I've spoken to the General Manager on occasions about it. But in that report that came to us back in May 2020 on the 21st, it said there, and I'll quote, "Integrating the Warrumbungle youth responses to date and previous experiences, the Manager of Community Services and the CSCO developed in March 2020 a draft youth strategic plan 2020-2030. They developed the draft. And then it says, towards further stakeholder consultation and progressing the draft towards council review. And then right at the end it says, the Manager of Community Services and Community Service Connection Officer together will facilitate a youth engagement survey, engaging SurveyMonkey or similar, over the coming month to further inform the development of the Warrumbungle Shire Council Youth Strategy Plan 2020-2030. The draft will then be submitted for consideration to council. But... Now, every time I've spoken to the General Manager, he says there was no budget, but obviously there was. There was a budget. That's what they planned to do. Well, that's what she says. So I'm reading the word, and that's what I believed, and I thought we'd get a strategy out of this.
There was no budget allocated by Council.
But how come she was doing that work? That was the plan.
No. What I said, Council, was that if Council staff had the capacity at the time, they would work on it, but other identified projects and targets by council would take priority.
If we can't believe what the council officers are telling us, what can we believe? The only reason I held off on this was because I knew that was coming. I know how slow the wheel turns, and I was waiting for this report to come. It never came. That's why I brought it up. So I thought it was interesting that you suddenly have produced a report, which is months over, you know, like it's more than 12 months, if that's what you're considering, but... I just thought that was... I don't know why you wrote that report. And I've never made the assertion that we had money for a youth officer that's been wasted or anything like that. Never brought that up. All I'm saying is that when they make statements like that, it's obviously backed by money, because they intended to do that in the next month, it says.
My recollection of what you said at the council meeting, Councillor, was that there was monies left over. And, well...
All I said was that there was a budget for this.
No,
and there must have been.
I actually checked the tape.
Yeah. I don't care if you check the tape or not, but I'm just saying that when that's written like that, that I assume that that's just going ahead. In one month, they were going to produce that report.
But again, other things took over at that particular point in time. We had COVID, which hit.
But it was a phone, SurveyMonkey. It was a phone call. That's all it was going to be.
We had COVID hit, and then we had the discovery that there are acquittals which have been outstanding for a long period of time.
I think it's disappointing that we haven't got a strategy.
I understand.
Yeah.
While on the subject of acquittals, where are we?
They've been worked through. They've been prepared. I don't think we've got any further to prepare, but they've got to get checked over by finance before all of them are submitted. A number have been submitted, but I can't remember the exact number, but there's still a few to be checked and submitted.
Very good. Councillor.
Without wanting to... disrupt the harmony of this meeting, I do find it rather extraordinary hearing the comments of Peter Shinton about the youth strategy at a time like this, because as we've heard from the General Manager, the acquittals and the COVID situation were certainly very distracting. And if we drill deeper into that, the acquittal process and the problems it's created were not on the watch of this General Manager and not on the watch of this Mayor. They were on the watch of another Mayor. and another mayor also had ample time to develop a youth strategy, which has been something that's been sorely needed in this community for at least two decades. So I find it quite disappointing to hear those comments from someone who had ample opportunity to execute a youth policy.
Anything further, councillors? With that, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Unanimous. Okay, our next item, item 12, Community Development Coordinator Program, Memorandum of Understanding. Councillor Capel?
I'll move it.
Do you want to move this one?
No. I think we need it cleaned up around, do the CDCs attend only CDC meetings? Do they attend the EDT meetings? As I sent an email to you all, often the EDT meetings don't have representation from the smaller communities. And I also don't think the current layout is very clear. I don't think 70,000 per annum is realistic every year. As we know, grants, they're affected by timing, they're affected whether the government above us are paying down state or national debt. We know after the GFC, grants disappeared on the whole for quite a period and then suddenly reappeared with COVID. I think it needs to cite who is the person in charge of the CDCs. Not all these groups have the same people staying on them all the time, so when there is a change of personnel in a group who is the employer of the CDC, they need to know from this document who their contact is back at council, because corporate knowledge changes in community groups. So which was point number 8 in the version I sent around. Also, it doesn't allow for things such as in-kind in that 70,000, that's not mentioned. Often there is an in-kind contribution from community groups that goes towards the grant that they've kind of scooted around the community to try and get that in a grant. It also doesn't value their point as the connection person when not-for-profit larger organisations, such as Vinnies or whatnot, and government agencies such as Local Land Services, Rural Resilience, turn up in a community post a natural disaster. I know when the fires happened, two of the CDCs were spending a lot of time facilitating the delivery of those agencies by putting connections together. And that took up a lot of energy and time, but you can't quantify it in dollar terms. But without the CDCs doing that linkage, some of that vital support may not have got to the people who needed it, or link with community groups who could help deliver the support into the natural disaster area. So I think it doesn't place any value on that type of time and energy that's expelled by the CDCs. So that's why I sent around the version the Villa District Development Group spent a workshop putting together for which was submitted through to council for everyone's consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had a look over Councillor Capel's proposals. I don't necessarily agree with the suggestions that she's making. The first dot point there that I see that's being made is about if contracted, not employed, the above expenses are covered. I see that as superfluous to the
We did too initially, except it gives a guidance to the groups what is the expected pay level.
But that information's there already. In relation to 4.1, yeah, the target of $70,000 has been taken out. Council has previously included a target amount in there. It used to be $50,000 and it has been up to $70,000. In relation to item 4.2, I don't see the purpose of that statement there. I think that may be just putting extra obligation onto the groups, as do I see 4.7, the requirement that they attend Council's Economic Development and Tourism Committee. I think that should be up to the relevant committee itself to make that decision. In relation to 7.5, that it talks about Council engages the Community Development Coordinator for its own requirements. I don't understand the need for that because that's the arrangement that we have in place already. And then in relation to point 8, the council convener. Council conveners also change from time to time, including the respective roles. At this point in time, the role of Director of Corporate and Community Services is not the convener. And if other changes happen from time to time, that the person responsible will be changed. It's a simple phone call to be made to council to find out who's.
Yeah. Councillor Lewis?
Yeah, one thing I read out of this report is council's completely lost touch of reality here, because these people were initially employed, or the concept of it was they weren't employed. They would work at arm's length to council, one in each town that was locally known and knew the local town issues, and they were there to seek grants independent of council that council wasn't entitled to. There was none of this mumbo-jumbo in it. They were to work at arm's length to council. Sue Stoddard, Johnny Lloyd, the hairdresser girl in Binaway, I can remember the names of nearly all of them, but they were arm's length to council, and they only had to work or put in a minimal amount of time a week, and council was to assist them in communication costs and email and so on and so forth. There was none of all this stuff.
It didn't exist. This is with the development groups, not with the individual contractor slash employer.
Community coordinators, I think we call them.
Yeah, CDCs. 7.5 was put there so the groups understood that you can contract separately work done. It was just to clarify, because we're aware from time to time some of the CDCs are contracted to do council work, and this kind of just defines it.
Yeah, as I said, I don't see the need for that, because that's an arrangement between council and the respective person who's performing the role of CDC. We're not engaging them in the role of CDC.
I understand that, but it makes it clearer to the groups that it is possible to happen, that it doesn't blindside them. As I said, the corporate knowledge is lost every time you have a committee change. We're just looking for ways to make things clearer to novice committees.
Councillor Shinton?
Just a correction in the report there. The program was originally developed or stolen from Cooler in 2005. But it didn't embrace six towns. It was Coonabarabran was left out until only the last, 5 or 6 years or something. Coonabarabran was always told that we had the person at the Tourist Information Centre who would look for grants for Coonabarabran. So we were always excluded from it until more recent times.
Until the 2357 committee came.
Right, councillor. So where are we at here? We don't have a mover or a seconder with this version. Can we, of the one, can we have that, or a suggestion for something different? And we have a mover and a seconder for the recommendation as it's written in the business paper. Or if not, if you want to make some changes, could we have some suggestions and a mover and a seconder to those changes? Otherwise, we'll put it up. We'll ask for a mover and a seconder for what's in the business paper. Yeah. Councillor Todd. Councillor Iannuzzi. Anything further on any suggested changes, or will...
I've suggested mine.
Would you like to move those as an amendment, Councillor?
I don't like the Council version.
Further?
Are we going to put this to the groups to see what they feel before...
Submit to them for signing.
Yeah. For signing, but for comment?
But it's a done deal once it's submitted for signing.
If it should not go to them for comment now, you know, like this is a new version, so should they have a look at it before they... Or is that just... There are pieces missing out, you know, from what I can remember of it, of the old one, but...
I thought we cleaned that up in 2018.
So you reckon this is the U-Butte version?
I'm happy to take on board the formatting issues, which Councillor Cable mentioned a moment ago, but there were a number of changes made in 2018 to the document, and this is an update of that version.
Leaving in the 70,000.
Problem? 70,000.
Well, it has been 50,000 this year up until now.
Yeah.
As I said, there's also the grey area when, for example, the tennis courts, the quotes and whatnot were sourced by the community. But it was a council grant. But we did the legwork to get the grants and whatnot for the tennis courts. And so who gets the credit? Even if most of the bigger grants now come through council, unfortunately. So if council's the applicant, does the CDC receive any of that in their 70,000 credit?
I wouldn't have a problem with them indicating. But from the numbers I have seen from some of the reports, that $50,000 has well and truly been exceeded by the groups who do the submission.
I know our particular coordinator managed to pull in just over 3 years, just under $500,000. But she is extraordinary.
That is good. So in the absence of any concrete amendments, I'll be putting this. So if we don't have any...
Just a comment, and I suppose to back Peter about, I would probably like to see go to the groups because, again, it's just a council document and say, hey, sign this. They're the ones doing the work. And, you know, this mightn't be what the current group... you know, sort of signed up to volunteer on this committee to, you know, their expectations. So I'd like to just see them all have a bit of input before it's a signed deal.
What I would say to you there, Councillor, is this what you're wanting to put council up there for, to achieve those sorts of things? Or will council be happy with the groups coming back and saying, oh, we don't want to go down that direction council wants going? We want to go down our own direction and completely ignore.
And I get what you say too, Roger. Like, yeah, there has to be some base work, but then council isn't community sort of thing of, you know, these communities might be on a different trajectory sort of thing. And, you know, to get the outcome that, you know, council might be happy with as well, they might go around it a different way. I don't know.
Any more feeling about
putting that? I just would hate to see CDC, council go to one of the groups who auspice the employee slash contractor and say they haven't delivered 70,000, give them the...
70,000? I haven't got anything about 70,000 here. They all just get 25,000?
No, that's what they've got to return.
Yeah.
Not what
the thing that
not
they
what
had
the
to
groups are paid to employ or engage them.
I thought originally when this was all brought together that the person had to just get what they were paid back in helping community. 25,000. I don't know. I didn't know they have to get up to 70,000 now. Originally the idea, I'm sure, was the payment that they're paid each.
I can't comment on what was originally there. But certainly in the last agreement was 50,000.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, could we leave this on the table and put it out to the groups and it be brought back to the next council to...
Preferably with better layout, with subsections rather than just dashes. So if somebody rings up, they can refer to the subclause, not...
Rather than lay on the table, Councillor, could I suggest that you move an amendment saying that you put this to the relevant community groups for their consideration?
Are you happy with that, Councillor Todd? Councillor Iannuzzi, in your absence, we've just been discussing whether the value of sending this MOU or proposed MOU around to the different groups for their perusal before it's signed off.
I think that's never a bad idea.
Anything further, I'll put that move as amended. That motion, rather, as amended. Carried unanimously.
All right.
Our next item, draft investments policy. Had some fun with this over the years. Anyone want to move and second this, please? Councillor Shitton.
I'm just going over the page, sorry. Oh, yeah, that seemed okay.
Councillor Hill, thank you very much. Any questions, suggestions, amendments you'd like to see? No? All straightforward? Very good. Well, I'll put the recommendation on page 35 for all those in favour. Carried unanimously. Right. Our next item is item 14, the draft general purpose and special purpose financial statements for 2020-2021 financial year.
Mr. Mayor, after talking to Council's auditor this afternoon, it's very unlikely that this extraordinary meeting will be able to be held in this term of Council. So we'll just have to hold it over to the new Council.
So that's recommendation four?
It can be left there as is.
It can be, yes. Yeah.
Except for in point five, which Councillor Chitten pointed out to me, it should be GM rather than... the mayor.
Do that. Right. Do we have a mover and a seconder? I don't believe we do we? Mover and a seconder for this, Councillor Cable and Councillor Shinton. Debate or suggestions, questions on this rather weighty item?
Pardon?
Any questions, Councillor? What are they? 2 centimetres thick, the statements? There's a bit in them. Nothing further. I'll put that recommendation there. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 15, the investments and term deposits for the month ending the 31st of October 2021. Councillor Todd, Councillor Cable. Again, thinking about the good old days, we've had some fun with this over the term of council. Any questions or queries on this item today?
It's always well set out. And
say that,
easy
Councillor?
To read. And I'm no accountant.
Comments or questions? Well, I'll put that recommendation there. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Which brings us inevitably to item 16. Update report on acquisition of land for the proposed Rocky Glen Rural Fire Service Brigade shed. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Brady. Questions, comments?
Yeah, that's fine.
Anything you'd like to add, Mr. Murphy?
No, Mr. Mayor, I think it's pretty straightforward.
I tend to agree. All good. All right, well, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Item 17 is upgrade report on the Coonabarabran Mungandai Road upgrade project. Councillor Todd, thank you for your long interest in this matter. Councillor Shinton. Further, Councillor Shinton.
Yes, look, with the bypass issue coming up, are they ever going to fund the Barradine Road, John Street intersection? I don't think they are. The biggest problem we've got, if we bring B doubles and road trains to that intersection, when they turn to head north, they're going to cross over the wrong side of the road, and they do it right now. And one of the suggestions that came out from early meetings with the bypass was that we try and do Gardiner Street up, or whatever you retail yards road, it's got two names. We try and do that up as the heavy vehicle route from Barradine back onto the Newell Highway, in which case they won't come through John Street through the town here when the bypass is up and running. So I was wondering if, as a part three, we include in that the development of Gardiner Street has the heavy vehicle route from Barradine to the Newell Highway when the bypass is constructed. Would that be...
I think that would be in order. I think that would be in order if we ask for that to be included as part of, you know, the fund to paying for it. You know.
Hey, you want me to?
Yes.
Oh, to include the development of Gardiner Street, or Salyards Road, whatever it's called, as the heavy vehicle route from the Barradine Road to the Newell Highway, which would lead to no heavy vehicles in John Street when the bypass is constructed.
So include the development of Gardiner Street / Salyards Road, whichever is appropriate term,
Heavy vehicle route from the from Barradine to the Newell Highway.
They can go out to the Newell Highway and come back in down Pearlywall Road.
Is this only subject to the bypass, or you want us to proceed on it now?
Well, if it was part of it now, that'd be great. But with the bypass, that definitely definitely stops heavy traffic coming into Coonabarabran Town.
Funding? Do we need to include who money from?
As I understand this, councillors, this would form part of the report for concept designs.
I think it's a good point. It's what needs to happen.
Yeah. We can't do it the way we're doing it now. It's wrong. It's totally wrong. Someone's going to get injured.
Mr. Mayor, I agree with what Peter says, but what are you going to do about the blokes that are heading east that are turning left at that intersection and coming up the main street to get back onto the road to Corindai? Are they going to go right out around that deviation? The developed Gardner Street, it's already developed because it's a heavy vehicle bypass, wide load bypass now.
I think it refers more to the intersection, don't you think, Councillor Chin?
Yeah, what we're worried about is the intersection with the Barradine Road into.
So yeah, it needs changing so that it's the easiest way to go.
And as you quite rightly point out, it is the heavy vehicle bypass. So that part's right. It's just the getting on and the getting off.
You make it the easiest way to go, the trucks will go that way.
Very good. Well, thanks for that. Any more discussion? No? Without that, we'll put that recommendation as amended. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 18, update report on the management of roadside vegetation. Lockdown with people wanting to counsel.
Only for noting.
You not see? You get a seconder? Councillor Cable.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to commend Gary on that report. It's long overdue and good work.
Thanks, Councillor. Anything further? If not, I'll put the recommendation there. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Our next item was a long read. Item 19, the update report on classification and categorisation of Crown Reserves. Councillor Todd. And seconder. Councillor Iannuzzi, thank you for that. Interesting and educational read.
Is there any grant money coming to do these or not?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Todd, just on page 58, the financial considerations, we have got $90,000 from the Office of Local Government. Whether that's sufficient or not, I can't say at this stage, but to answer your question, yes.
So where are the management plans up to?
Well, at the moment, my understanding is that we're waiting for Crown Lands to come back to us. We've responded to their queries and we're waiting for them, so it's just chasing.
The councillors? All right, well, I'll put that recommendation there. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. This brings us up to item 20, update report on RFS shed at Coonabarabran Aerodrome. Councillor Todd, thank you for that. Councillor Shinton? Quarries. Further, Mr. Murphy?
No, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Right on. Put it in the right place, that's the main thing. I wanted to put it in an awkward place at one stage, I wouldn't cut a tree up. Only one tree there.
Anything further? All right, well, I'll put the recommendation. All those in beg your pardon, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Update report on road closure part Castlereagh Avenue Binaway for the Pump House Camping Ground. Councillor Todd, Councillor Brady.
Only one thing wrong with this. And people think we're going to close the road, and we're not going to close the road at all. That's just what's got. They've got in their head and been away, they've got to get the road closed. We should let them know that we're not closing the road, we're only taking the ground alongside it.
We could work on some media to that effect, I think, Mr. General Manager.
I actually felt we'd had already done that
or a certain degree of advice to the community about that. Happy to do it again.
Everybody thinks they're going to get a chat.
Maybe something needs to go in the Binaway Telegraph.
My own house in Castlereagh Avenue, and it was confusing when we got the notice. That it did appear that they wanted to close the street, the way the letters were worded and that, but I think everyone's got it sort of worked out now. The road that we want to close is a paper road. It never existed, ever anyway. It's just formalising the agreement.
We can pop some more out there just to reassure people that won't be any trouble.
You drive down there now, you can see where the pigs are, where the surveyors put the pigs in.
Anything else, councillors? If not, I'll put that excellent recommendation. All those in favour?
That sounds good.
Carried unanimously. Item 22, update report on Werribee Road Prima. Mover and a seconder, Councillor Shinton. Councillor Hill, thank you. Councillor Lewis?
It's already been moved.
Any comments?
The only comment I've got is that people have been using it for 20 years or more already. It's a miscalculation on our part that it hasn't formalised a long time ago.
And why do we need to pay compensation?
Murphy, would you like to add anything, or the report speaks for itself?
I guess through you, Mr. Mayor, the council resolution, I think, in 2018 is fairly straightforward. In terms of the compulsory acquisition, my experience has been that if you don't make that resolution, negotiations fall down with the landowner, then you are up the creek without a paddle, so to speak. So
it's privately owned land?
That's just a... edge of the road, from the edge of the road
to
the private property where the new road went in.
Government land.
Yeah.
So why are we having to pay for it? As you said, for 20 years people have been just...
Steve McAvoy and I built the road in there. So. No one stopped us at the time.
Unfortunately, it's part of the process, Councillor.
Yeah.
Unnecessary waste of time, money, energy.
You're on the money there.
Bureaucracy at its worst.
Yes, well, if there's nothing further, councillors, I'll put that recommendation in four parts. All those in favour? Carried. Once again, unanimously. Item 23, Annual Code of Conduct Complaint Statistics. Councillor Capel, Councillor Brady. I just make a comment there. They're just the way I like them. There's zeros everywhere and $0 spent on it. So that's the way we want it. Anything further, councillors? Straightforward. All right. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Next item, Tymore Dam. Item 24, Tymore Dam, Dam Safety Upgrade Requirements. Not there.
Indeed, wasn't
it? We get a mover and a seconder.
Yes, I'll move it.
Oh. Councillor Shinton, thank you for that.
Like owning a dam, you see. Jeez.
What did you say?
Nothing like owning a dam.
Interesting reading.
Where is it, councillors? Uh,
A lot of money for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't have been easy to do that when the drought was on.
Who's going to pay for that? The water fund?
Yes.
And put the water rates on a bit.
Can I just ask, Mr. Mayor, who's John Boyle? Is he? We employ.
He's a manager. Oh, sorry. He's a project engineer with council in water.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's been with us now for over 6 months.
He's stationed in Cooler, is he? Stationed in Cooler?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing further, councillors? Dams is an expensive
question,
business.
Councillor Lewis. Mr. Mayor, is after I asked there a couple of meetings ago or put in a notice of motion that we opened up to the public, the reason I got was because the dam wasn't safe, and none of this information in the 20-odd years that I've been on council and on or off has ever been tabled to councillors, and once again I commend the person that prepared the report.
Right. Well. Anything, nothing further, councillors, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Water everywhere. Our next item, item 25, Dunedoo Town Water Security. Councillor Todd, Councillor Hill, thank you for that. Oh, Councillor Capel, I do apologise.
Question, so when we put Dunedoo on water restrictions, will DPIE place irrigators on a reduced allocation?
No.
Is there a mechanism where every time we put in water restrictions due to drought in particular, not mains breaks or whatever, that we inform DPIE of our concern so we can flag it well in advance? So they might put in a decrease in allocation, because it's a bit of pill for the people of Dunedoo to be on water restrictions and irrigators not. And, I know it's the way it is, but people should be before irrigators. We've got a duty of care to supply water, and if our wells are dropping, it just bugs me, this one, as you know.
Yes, and the whole purpose of bringing this report back to council was to alert council to what the response was from the department to its objections. But the issue that they're going to come back with really is going to be, we need to test our board and make sure it's operating effectively and look at lowering it further, making it a deeper bore.
Which then indicates there is a greater extraction happening from that aquifer. If you've got to keep chasing water down, it's not replenishing.
Oh, quickly enough. It's replenishing, there's no doubt about that. But,
if we've got to keep going deeper and deeper, there is an issue.
It'll eventually run out.
I just think any time we're putting the town on restrictions due to drought, we should be flagging it with DPIE to start shooting across their bow to be a bit more proactive in reducing allocations.
Well, I can add a little bit to that. I've got an irrigation licence in the river, Castlereagh River, and that's exactly how that works.
Oh, I know it does for river.
What they say is make your hay when it's raining.
Yours is on a different mechanism.
But it's a similar thought to what you're trying to say, which is it's the flow's reduced, so there's different categories of extraction depending on how high the river is. So that's something that you're...
Well, at Tamworth, the allocations are reduced in droughts around Tamworth. That doesn't seem to happen down around Dunedoo in a drought.
Is there succinct form of words that you'd like to add to that recommendation?
Every time that we're putting the town of Dunedoo on notice to reduce the level that they're allowed to use, the DPIE is informed to prompt them to start taking action as well. Because I'd hate to see Dunedoo run out of water.
Quite reasonable. I think you might want to be careful with that sort of wording, Councillor, because there may have been an extremely conservative point of view that was taken.
Most of the Shire was on water restrictions in those times. We were actually supposedly in trouble because we didn't act early enough.
Yeah, well,
I think you might be confusing the Coonabarra Grant problem with the Dunedoo problem in that statement.
No, not at all. Dunedoo was on the highest level of water restrictions. The irrigators are still irrigating. They advertised in the local Dunedoo paper for putting in a new bore, the Bowman's did, and there were objections to it. They sorted the objections out and then advertised the proposal again in a paper, newspaper outside of our LGA to get it passed.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there, Councillor, but we're still talking different issues. And what I would be referring you to is the graphs which show what the bore water levels were, and then just reminding you of what level we can actually draw to and see that there is still space there to draw water on. And I'm saying that I think when those water restrictions were being applied to Dunedoo, it was a very conservative approach being taken by council for putting...
Yes, because we have to be very responsible. We can't risk pumping it out and then you have other issues with possible collapse. And there are other issues if you pump out your bore. So we have to be responsible. And we're also responsible for ensuring their water supply.
Yep.
And it's a duty of care that we've got to do. And I just think it doesn't sit well with people when they're on water restrictions in a community but others aren't.
Compromise be there that when water restrictions are applied in Dunedoo, the DPI is alerted to that.
Yes.
And that's what Councillor Capel is saying.
Just leave it at that without the to prompt them. Just leave that bit off.
Mm.
Yeah, all I'm saying there, Councillors, is we just need to be careful with that sort of statement because there's a very easy retort for them and to say, well, you've still got another 15 metres to go or something like that.
Well, but once again, you pump it all out, you could end up losing the entire bore. There are risks when you overpump a bore.
And keeping in mind that the irrigators who surround that area, who supposedly pump from different aquifers, pump down to something like 60 metres or deeper.
What's not been taken into account, and I've been a resident of the Shire all my life, on and off, is the Talbagar River used to be that. Now it's just a dried-up gully. And it's still a dried-up gully, even though we've had two very wet years in succession. It only runs immediately after rain and then dries up again. The water has gone, and that's over the last 40 years that I know of it. It's clearly evident that the aquifer is going down and down and down, and that's evidenced in areas of America where they just pump the aquifers dry. I'm not making up this story. It's documented fact. It's not regulated. People go east or west out of Dunedoo, past the big sprinklers going in the paddocks everywhere and get home to their dead gardens. It's just not fair. And we're sitting down and doing absolutely nothing about it because we're too scared to face Big Brother.
And I don't think DPIE have a monitoring bore in that area either. Do they?
Where? I don't know.
I couldn't find one on a map. A whole heap have actually been removed due to failure.
I'm not disagreeing with councillors. All I'm just saying is I'm putting it out there that, hey, I think there might be some problems with the wording that you're putting forward at the moment. Happy to...
I'll follow the mayor's lead. Let them know when we're starting to get concerned.
But I believe town should have first right to all water. People that use it, they need it. won't use too much because it costs too much.
Interesting when people are put on restrictions and big companies aren't.
So basically what you're saying is that council advised DPIE each time council puts water restrictions on in Dunedoo?
Due to drought conditions, not when you've got a main that's blowing and you've got to stop. Oh, put,
you, yeah. You're going to have mining too. Yeah. Mining will bugger an aquifer.
Yes.
Yeah, happy with that? I think that's...
Yeah, could I just ask a question as well? If we connected to the RMS bores, do we still only have the 20 meg extraction limit, or would it go up to 400 if we were supplying the town or whatever that whatever they are allowed to pump? It seemed to be one of the options that was given that we could connect to that. We might be able to connect to that.
Well, the recommendation is that we explore it. It's not saying we do it.
I'm wondering if it did still only have a 20...
Well, that's what we'd find out when we explore that.
Fair enough.
That particular issue.
And just by the way, in the report there, the number of goes at trying to figure out the Lachlan... Is it Lachlan?
Yeah, it's a lower aquifer.
Yeah, the Lachlan... Ford belt and Fond belt is actually the fold belt. You know, like so. If the typist needs to know, it's Fond and Ford.
Could we connect into the bore out near the polo grounds that the RMS put in? I think that's mentioned in the report, and it's not a large project at Dunny B, 1,500 metres to our network.
I'm not familiar with the polo grounds, but is that the one you were talking about?
Yeah.
Coming from here, the polo green, you go over the Talbragar River and it's on the left-hand side before you get to the railway crossing.
Okay. So the RMS bore is on the right-hand side of the road.
Actually, it'd be closer than that if you went along the railway reserve. Ooh. It wouldn't be very far at all up to the whole town well to connect into the network.
That's what we're talking about.
And there's an exploring easement that. Already.
All
and
right,
if we an could just already.
Yeah, you've already got an easement there
to the front, councillor. So anything further there? We've got the amendment there, councillor Cable. Is that in line with your request? Nothing further. I'll put that recommendation as amended. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Very good. Item 26, Barney's Reef Wind Farm Community Consultative Committee. A mover and a second up. Councillor Shinton, Councillor Hill, thank you very much.
Be deferred until the next year.
Well, I think put the framework in place, I think is the theory there, and then...
add it to your list of...
Add it to the list.
...things for your first...
Theory there, so it's pretty straightforward. We've got a mover and a seconder. Councillor Todd.
Shinton and Hill with
it. Oh, we've done that, yeah, sorry. Yeah. My apologies. I was looking there and couldn't see it written there, so straightforward. Anyone got anything to raise? Very good. Well, we'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 27, dealt with previously. Item 28 will be further development applications. And there's a recommendation there on page 91. Moving a second to Councillor Brady. Thank you for that. Councillor Capel. Any questions or queries? Pretty straightforward, I think. We'll put that recommendation accordingly. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Brings us to our last item of business in open council. Item 29, a notice of motion regarding the Binaway Pool. Councillor Ianuzzi. That. Councillor Brady to second it.
Mayor, at the Binaway community consultation meeting, it was apparent to me and to many present that council has let down the community somewhat. I do take on board that there are debates about the correct way to assess usage of the pool, and that some believe Binaway underutilises the pool and others believe that perhaps it utilises the pool better than other communities. That's a debate that for another time, but worthy of mention nevertheless. However, I think the way we've admittedly accidentally handled the opening of the pool and the maintenance program has let down the Binaway community, and I note that it's a community that has considerable social and economic disadvantage, and for many, especially young people in that community, it's the only real thing that council contributes to give them a bit of pleasure and diversion in their lives during the summer. Accordingly, I think as a gesture of goodwill and as a gesture that council acknowledges that it could have done better, we could offer a proposal such as the one I've put forward in the notice of motion. I'm happy to consider amendments as well, but I think that we owe it to that community to do something as a gesture of goodwill.
Ed, anything further? Contributions, councillors?
Is this pool open now? It's not. It's been open. Is that right? Wrong. I heard Binaway pool hadn't been opened yet. Is that right or wrong?
Yeah, there's been some issues with pool attendance from...
Something's happened there. Somebody else has left there, haven't they? Somebody who was quite competent apparently isn't there anymore.
Nothing further, councillors. I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
If I may just have a... Sorry about this, Mr. Mayor. Mr. General Manager, is this going to be a licit motion, or have we had a chance to check whether there's something that won't be permissible here?
It'll be fine.
Okay.
But then, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Brings us now, councillors, to the reports to be considered in closed council, and I propose that we put up the desirability to move each of these three items into closed council. Do that en bloc. Councillor Todd, Councillor Iannuzzi. That resolution, all those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, we don't have any members of the public present, so I won't go through the formality of that, but there is now a further recommendation there that council now go into closed council.
We're going to move in a second, please. Councillor Brady, Councillor Capel, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Which brings us to the first item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just returning to open council to dealing with several items. The first item was in relation to the Organisation Development Monthly Report. The resolution of council was that the Organisation Development Monthly Report for November 2021 be noted for information. The next item was Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Information Report. The resolution of Council was that Council note the advice and endorse the actions as outlined in the report in relation to the Three Rivers Regional Retirement Community Project. And the third item dealt with was the sustainability of childcare services. And the resolution of Council was that Council consult with staff and the community on relevant actions proposed in the sustainability and childcare reports.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. There being no further business on the agenda, I'll just close our meeting by extending my thanks to all of you for your help and support the last 12 months, and then thank you all for your diligence these last 5 years that we've been on Council. We've had our ups and downs, we've had our disagreements, but we've worked pretty well as a cohesive unit, I believe, to get things done for people of Warrumbungle Shire. And I will go on to say, if I could, we've got three councillors of long standing who won't be joining the rest of us on the hustings on December 4. And the first I'd like to mention would be Councillor Clancy, who's unable to be with us here tonight. Very long-standing, successful councillor. So his name on the honour board there being the Mayor of the Warrumbungle of the Coonabarabran Shire. Great contributor to social community in this town over very many years, and his contribution will take a bit of beating. So we extend all our best wishes to Councillor Clancy. We've also got Councillors Hill and Capel stepping down and not joining us to go around again, or trying to go around again. Never too old, Councillor Hill.
Yes, I'm too old.
So whoever might replace you from down your part of the Shire, they've got big shoes to fill for a ferocious advocate for all things from Dunedoo. So we look forward to you still being involved with community groups down in Dunedoo in the future. Because you, despite your protestations of age, you've still got a lot to contribute. So, so I would like to
thank you.
A few parting words.
I'm not too good on that. Stand up. God, I've been sitting here for so long. Well, look, thank you for the flowers and for the kind words. Thank you, everybody, for working together. I think we don't usually have... We've not had harsh words with each other or anything really drastic that you hear happen in other councils. So thank you for putting up with me, and enjoy the next term of council, whoever gets elected. And thank you, Roger, and the staff.
Thank you. And that brings us to Councillor Capel. Again, a fierce advocate for your part of the world, for Cooler, and I've said it many a time, and I won't resolve from it. There's a lot of reading to go on in all of these things, and I would put Councillor Capel up as being the one best read person of all of the other nine of us, without shadow of a doubt. So we wish you well in your future. As you informed us tonight, you've sold your property, so good luck with that, and good luck with what's
wherever
coming.
We land.
So whoever might replace you has got some big shoes to fill too, Councillor.
Thank you for the flowers.
Well, it's...
Thank you. I'd just like to say thank you to everyone here. It's been generally enjoyable the last 9 years. And I'd like to thank the staff. I'd in particular, who have always been helpful and forthcoming when we've got questions or concerns, and in particular for the executive staff who we deal with the most. So thank you very much. I'd also like to thank Joe Horton, who's stepped up into the Manager of Tourism and Economic Development, because I chair that committee, and I thank her for her work as well. And good luck for those recontesting. And good luck next council.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, with those uplifting words, we'll bring our meeting to a close and wish everyone a safe trip home and a safe future wherever we might end up in the future. And I just ask one favour before anyone gets too far away, if we could just get a team photo at the end there that we might be able to mark this team of council with. So thank you very much.